20. Luke chapter 20. Does anybody need to borrow a Bible? Might have a few, brother. Some of the visitors, have you checked with them? Luke chapter 20. Verse 46 is what we'll start with, and we'll leave it open after we pray. I want to read some other portion of scripture there to you, and then reemphasize verse 46 again, but that'll be our text verse this morning, verse 46. So Luke chapter 20. Let's stand to our feet. If you have that, in honor for the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 20. And the Bible says this in verse 46, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast." And we're going to talk this morning about beware of the scribes. Let's pray. I'll let you be seated. And then I want to look at some other scriptures there and emphasize that verse one more time before we get to our sermon this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be at your house this morning. Thankful for those that have come. Pray now, Lord, that you would bless this time in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Luke chapter 20. And verse 46, of course, is our text verse, but let's back up here to verse 39. The Bible says, "Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said." Of course, they were questioning him, meaning Jesus, as far as master. Verse 40, "And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. And he said unto them, How say they that Christ is David's son? And David himself saith in the book of Psalms, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore called him Lord, how is he then his son? Verse 45, then in the audience of all the people, he said unto his disciples." So in other words, they're still all sitting there, this crowd around, but he's got his disciples there, and guess what he says? Verse 46, our text verse, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation." Verse 46 again, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feast." And when you've been around Christianity for a little while, and I'm not an old man, but I've been around for a little while as far as this thing of the Christian life and Christian circles, amen, and you begin to understand some of the frustration I think that Christ must have had with the scribes and the Pharisee crowd, in other words, the Sadducees and all of them. The scribes were people who copied documents. That's what a scribe was, particularly the scriptures. But so that people had something to read. That's what they did. That was the job of a scribe, was to get that copied down and to get so in other words, so they could get some scriptures out there so people had something in order to be able to put in front of their face and be able to read it and be able to get it to them. And that's what a scribe did. And there were no printing presses in those days. So these scribes, they played a pretty important role in society. I mean, obviously, if nothing's put in print, there isn't going to be anything to read. You can't just have one Bible, one source of scripture somewhere, and it's sitting in some temple or some building somewhere, and everybody has to gather around, kind of like these Mecca places where, you know, like over there in Mecca, they gather all the, do their prayers and all that. And so everybody has to come there to worship God, to find out something about God. Well, they couldn't have that, so we got to get some scribes out there who are going to copy these scriptures out so people can get to them, so people can have them. So people can read them. So people can learn them. And so they played an important role. Now, in the verse that we had just given you this morning, Jesus warned the people, though, to be cautious of these scribes. Look what he says again. Beware of the scribes. And that'll be the title of our sermon this morning. So he's telling them to be cautious about them. He says, beware. And let me show you what was so dangerous about these scribes this morning for about the next 20 minutes, if you give me your attention. And that's this. Number one, they loved to be known for their education. They loved to be known for their education. I'll say that one more time and then we'll talk about it. They loved to be known for their education. They loved it. I mean, they were the intellectual type. They were the important ones. They were the educated, most educated, some of the most educated people in society. It says, which desires, he says, Jesus says, beware of the scribes. And then he says in verse 46, which desire to walk in long robes. The wearing of these long robes that they had was something that these educated people would wear so they could be recognized. It was something different than what anybody else in society had. These particular robes were specific. Now, so, well, there's a lot of people there in the crowd had robes on. Sure there was in that day and age and the custom of their dress, but there was something different about these. They had some particularly long robes that were particularly fancy that distinguished them from everybody else. You could look at them and what they were wearing and you could say, hey, that's a scribe. You could say, hey, that's a scribe right there. You could look at them and say that. And, well, no. That's an educated scribe. Very important. Very distinguished. Very much somebody. Yeah. That's what they liked. They liked to be known like that. These scribes thought that their education made them better than everyone else. That was what they clung to, a lot of them. They thought it made them important. They wanted to be distinguished from everybody else. We must be careful that we don't let education ever cause us to look down on others. Hey, education is important. I'm not against education. But education isn't the most important thing in life. And education doesn't make everybody better than somebody else who doesn't have as much education as they have. That's a problem that becomes with an educated society and educated people. They look down their nose at others. I'll tell you, somebody was just telling me about meeting somebody recently and talking about all the different degrees that they had. And they've been, I mean, this person's like getting old in years and they've been in the university forever and they've got all these degrees and so forth. And I didn't meet the person or anything like that. But that's wonderful. Have all them degrees. What are you going to do? Go for another one at the university? Yeah, that's productive, isn't it? Already got two or three. Well, I'm going to get me another one. That's great. Boy, I'll tell you what, by the time you're 65, you might have your five or six of them. That's wonderful. You're going to die in a few years probably, but that's wonderful. You got those degrees, and they can put those in your coffin with you. And it'll be important, yeah. It'll mean a lot to everybody as they pass by and they see those degrees that are tacked up on the lid while it's up. It'll mean a lot. Education isn't everything. Spend your life getting an education and think you're better than everybody else because, after all, I'm educated. I've got a degree from the university. I've got another degree in the university. I have a few minors and a few majors, and I'm educated. That's how some people look at it. These scribes were kind of like that. I'm not saying all they did was go to the university, but they were educated. They were important. They were educated people. That's why they like to wear those particular robes that made them stand out, those long robes that Jesus said to the disciples, beware of the scribes. There's something about them. You got to be careful of them. They'd be like the educated idiots in our day. And there are a lot of educated idiots in our day, folks. Just because someone has education does not make them smarter than someone else. Just because someone can use big words does not make them smarter than someone else. I've never for the life of me understood why preachers want to use a lot of big words all the time when they speak and they preach. But I've been in churches like that or sat through sermons like that and things like that, and I've never understood that. One thing I always appreciate is a lot of people have come to our church before and they said one thing about it. They said, I can understand what he's saying. He said, I can understand what he's talking about. And I tell you what, he said, well, he's not very educated. Well, let's see, I've got a couple degrees. Yeah, I got a degree in criminal justice before I was ever going to be a preacher. And then guess what? I got a pastoral theology degree. That's great, you know. But that doesn't necessarily make me smarter than everybody else. It doesn't mean I have to talk with a lot of big words and things like that. I've never understood why. Now, I learned a lot of those big theological words when I was in school, but I never saw a purpose for using them to people who couldn't understand them. And I had pastors like that before in my life. They'd use some word like theanthropic man or some other word like that, and then they'd say, you know, they wouldn't do that, but that was the way they would come across. Like, they'd pull somebody out of the crowd. They said, "Do you know what that word means?" And then they'd sit there and say, "Well, well, I'll tell you what it means." And what is that? It's pushing yourself up. That's what that is. Yeah, see, because I'm educated, I know what it means. They didn't do that, but that's the feeling you got when you're sitting on the other side. Oh, man, you know, what is with this person, you know? They really think they're somebody. And listen, there's no reason why we should not get educated, but at the same time, if someone's not educated and someone is, it doesn't mean they're smarter than somebody else. It doesn't mean they're better than somebody else. I would much more rather have somebody working for me who has common sense over someone that has a big education and no common sense. Big education and no common sense. I don't need that. I'd rather have somebody who's got some common sense. I'd rather have somebody, dealing in the ministry terms, I'd rather have somebody who has a heart for people and cares about people more than having a big education. And I'm not against education. But I think, hey, common sense goes a lot farther than a big education goes. And of course, you know I'm not against education. I've said that several times. But education never makes anyone better than someone else. Always remember that. These scribes got to the point where they walked around thinking they were somebody because they were highly educated and they wanted everybody to know and see them, that they were somebody special, that they were different than the rest of the common people. And that's what they were after. Number two. Secondly, the scribes loved to be recognized by famous people. The scribes loved to be recognized by famous people. They loved that. I'll say it one more time if you're writing it down. The scribes loved to be recognized by famous people. And it says, "Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes," and then notice this statement, "and love greetings in the markets." Love greetings in the markets. This greetings in the markets was merely an act of being recognized by influential people in their community, being recognized by other people of importance. They liked to be recognized. They liked the greetings in the markets. They liked to be noticed. They'd like to say, "Oh, yeah, there they are. Boy, look at them. The mayor's talking to them again. They must be important. Oh, look at them. The councilman's talking to them. Oh, there they are in the market down there. There they are down there by the cottage cheese aisle." Amen. The cheese aisle. There they are by the shredded cheese. There they are right there. And look who's talking to them. The governor's talking to them. Oh, wow. Boy, they must be important. They must be very important. They loved the greetings in the marketplaces. They loved that. They loved that. They loved that. And you go down and see somebody at the market, amen. Go down to some market here in town, Sunmart, Russell's Market, someplace like that, and see somebody like that that's, boy, they're famous. Boy, look who's talking to them. They're educated. They're famous. They got their fancy long robes on. And, boy, they're pretty important. Boy, oh boy, they love that. The scribes love that. Hey, we've got to be careful about that. These scribes felt that they were way more important than everyone else because of their long robes, because of their high education, because of the greetings in the marketplaces. Christian, we need to be careful about striving to be recognized by someone who's influential. Be careful about that. Be careful about that. It's better to know God than it is to know someone who's famous. Far better. Far better. Far better. And far better. And somebody would say, "Well, if I could just meet," he's dead now, but Johnny Carson or something like that, they used to say, you know. After all, he was from Norfolk, right? And if I could just meet him. Oh, if I could just, boy, if I could just I know one, and I'm not picking on him for it, they were really a good person, but they said, boy, I pray if Johnny Carson just gets saved, how much he could do for the Lord. Folks, if just anybody gets saved, how much they could do for the Lord if they're willing. Amen. You don't have to be Johnny Carson to do something for the Lord. And like I said, he's dead some years back now. But you don't have to be somebody famous like that. It's not that big a deal. You're far better off to know God. You're far better off to have God know you. You're far better off to be in that kind of position and have that. Ezekiel 20:44 says this, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, amen, when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, saith the Lord God. Also verse 24:24 of the same book, Ezekiel, thus Ezekiel is unto you a sign, according to all that he hath done shall ye do, and when this cometh, ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Hey, God thought that was pretty important to know who he is. Amen. And verses could go on and on. I'll not give you much more of that, but on and on about the importance of knowing God. You're far better off to know God and have God know you than you are to know anybody famous whatsoever. We shouldn't spend our life trying to be recognized by an influential person somewhere. We should instead spend our lives striving to be recognized by God Almighty. So boy, if I could just meet the mayor. Boy, if I could just meet the governor. Just meet the governor. Oh, we've already been there and done that. Amen. A couple of our people. And now when he sees our soul winners coming down the street over there by the mansion, he takes off. Goes back inside. Amen. Because he gets tired of being talked to about if he knows for sure he's going to go to heaven when he dies. Amen. And he didn't seem to like that question too well. So, hey, that's not the most important thing. That's not the most important thing. If you have a chance to meet some government official, that's great. If you have a chance to witness to him, that's even better. Amen. But guess what? It's far more important to know God. God doesn't get the credit he deserves. He's more important than the governor. And I'm not against the governor. I voted for him. But, he's far more important than the governor. He's far more important than the mayor. And we'll see if I voted for him or not. And, I will. I didn't. But he's far more important. He's far more important. He's far more important than any city councilman or lady here in town. He's far more important than any senator or any congressman or any president for that matter. He's far more important than anybody of any influential position. Oh, what about a movie star? Well, let's see. I don't know if we want to go there. Time will probably not allow us to. You're probably better off if you don't know any movie stars by far. Number three. Number one, first, they love to be known for their education. Number two, second, the scribes love to be recognized by famous people. Number three, let me give you a third thing. The scribes loved position. The scribes loved position. They loved position. They loved it. They loved position. The highest seats in the synagogues is what it says in the verse there. Notice what it says. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues. Hey, they had position on their mind, didn't they? The highest seats in the synagogue, simply holding a position in the council of the synagogue there. It'd be kind of like holding a, hey, listen, there in that day and age, a lot of the working there, when it comes to the Jews and so forth, these religious leaders, the Pharisees and Sadducee crowd, these scribes and so forth, they were people of position and authority in the community. There's no doubt. It was a religious sect. Of course, they had the Roman government was the real force there as far as militarily and so forth, and that controlled. But these people had a lot of say in the community. So really, truly, holding a seat like that is kind of like holding a city council seat here in town. It's kind of like holding a position like that. So not only did they want to be recognized by famous people, and I use a lot of illustrations like that to talk about that part, but we could have went the movie star route or some junk like that as far as famous people or someone well-known in society and so forth. But in this particular case, these highest seats is a position that they would seek to have that would give them a lot of influence and a lot more power. And there's nothing wrong with holding a position, by the way. But you should not strive to maintain it. Or obtain it, I should say, not maintain it. Our political system's all wrong, to be honest with you. This campaigning, pushing themselves up to be somebody and so forth, they make it look like a particular party's nominating a candidate and bringing them forward or nominating a few of them and vote. And yes, they go through that process, but to be honest with you, all this politicking and all this, it's a popularity contest is what it's really become. And that's at every level, folks. That's at every level, really. It doesn't matter if you're talking little city government here, if you're talking all the way up to the president's office. It's a popularity contest is what it is. Folks, in the beginning stages of the United States of America, if you know American history very well, the first few people, that wasn't like that. You take our first president, I mean, man, they pushed him up to be in that position. George Washington, they pushed him up to be in that. And by the way, after he served 8 years, he walked away willing. He could have stayed there forever and become a king if they wanted him to. I mean, he didn't want to. I should say if he wanted to. He didn't want it. No, let somebody else do this for a while. I just want to go on to the shadows and live out the rest of my life. He was for doing his part, and that's the way we ought to be in our lives, is for doing our part, whatever role that may be. But too many people in our world and society today are too worried about jockeying themselves for some great position somewhere in politics or something like that, or maybe even just some other aspect of life. And here's what they do. They do little stair-step things. They start with maybe the Rotary Club or something. I don't have anything against the Rotary Club necessarily. But they start with some little position like that and try to work their way up then to some, they could even start lower than that. Maybe they start with being the head of their neighborhood watch group or something like that. But they're using sometimes these positions just to stair-step their way up to try to gain higher office and higher office and higher office. I'm telling you this morning, God's not for that. God's not for that. And these scribes would push themselves up to try to gain and obtain position because they love position, and that's what they were after. Don't do things so you can acquire position, folks. And don't fight others to get position. You should only have a position when it comes to you naturally, amen. They will come and find you. They will think that you are the one to go ahead and choose. It'll be the people that decide to put you in that place when you do it the right way, but it should never become a popularity contest. It should never become a popularity contest. Shouldn't be about that. You should be choosing people. When we vote for people, we should be choosing them based on what they believe. Amen. Be nice if that started happening in our country, wouldn't it? And when it comes to even choosing a pastor for a church, it shouldn't be about a popularity contest. It should be about what the man believes or what he stands for. That's what it should be about. These scribes, though, they sought out the position. They sought to try to gain these positions in order to push themselves up and simply be the type of person who works hard at doing what you're supposed to do. We'll get to this place where you need to be. You'll get there. Hey, realize this. God's the one that you should let promote you. God's the one that you should let move you up. God's the one that you should let get you to that spot where maybe you will end up one day and be greatly used, because certainly people can be greatly used in certain positions. But let God be the one to elevate you to that. When you seek it yourself, that's a mistake. Let God be the one that helps you rise. All right, we got to move. Number four. The scribes classed people. What I mean by this is they would have an in crowd, than there was everybody else. So, I mean, let me make this clear. In God's eyes, there is no quote-unquote in crowd. There are only people. Not an in crowd. Only people. Only people in God's eyes. If you start to think that there are classes of people in Christianity, then you will be guilty of thinking that you are better than someone else, or maybe even not as good as someone else, depending on how you are classified in that classification. Jesus warns us not to be guilty of classifying people. Romans 3:9 says, what then? Are we better than they? No, and in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. James 2:3 says this, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Hey, they'd come in the gay clothing. It didn't mean the same thing then as it would mean today. Amen. Come in the gay clothing. In other words, well dressed. In other words, of a certain stature. And they say, oh, well, you're dressed like that. You come on up down here and get a good seat here. Oh, you're dressed like that. We've got a spot for you in the back. That's what would go on in their church services and so forth. So God was against it. Amen. So don't be doing that. Amen. That's not the way to do it. You treat them all the same. You treat them all the same. We're all sinners saved by grace. Amen. You treat them all the same. Hey, fifthly, I'm giving you the fifth thing. We're running out of time here. The scribes ran over anyone just to get what they wanted. The scribes ran over anyone just to get what they wanted. Be careful, Christians, about hurting others to gain a title. Be careful about that. These scribes had a lot of position and authority anyway. They were always seeking more, but they would push themselves up any chance they got and mow somebody down if they got in their way in order to get that position. Let me read you a portion of Scripture describing them. Matthew 23:1, I'll just read it to you. Don't bother turning to it. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, Jesus said. For they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Verse 5, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi, rabbi. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Don't make people your stepping stones, but rather do this. Make life about your people. The scribes made people their stepping stones. It was just about getting themselves ahead. It was all about appearance. It was all about self. It was all about self-promotion. They'd mow anybody down if they were in their way. Don't make people your stepping stones. Life, in your life should be about helping people. Let the people be the ones that push you up, not you yourself. Verse 12, again, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And Luke 14:11, for whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The scriptures over and over again. Finally, they'll give you the last thing this morning. The scribes lived their life as a show. The scribes lived their life as a show. What they were in public was not what they were in private. We just read some verses that indicated that. What they were in public was not what they were in private. Be careful, Christian, about living two lives. Be careful about living two lives. Be careful about that. Don't live one life for the sight of men to try to make yourself look good down at the church house. And then when you're away somewhere else, you're living another life. Always strive to be the same in private and in public. Strive to be the same. If you live a double life, you will hurt those closest to you, and most of all, you will hurt yourself. When Jesus said, beware of the scribes, he was warning us not to act like them. Be sure that your life does not resemble the attributes of the scribe. If you will simply live your life to please God, then these things that the scribe strove for will only be a tool to better help people if God gives them to you. That's the sermon this morning. Let's stand to our feet. Beware of the scribes.